harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. That's God talking about his own people there, the people of Israel. I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and the privilege that is ours to be in church. And I thank you for the ones that are here today. Thank you for them coming out. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to have ears to hear the message. Help us to receive it into our hearts. And most of all, help us to apply it to our lives. Any decision that needs to be made, Lord, I pray we'd make it before we leave this service. Lord, we thank you again for our church, for this place that we have, and for all that you do for us. We thank you most of all for our salvation. We thank you for the Word of God, for all your love and mercy, the goodness and grace that you show us all the time, for being so much better to us than we could ever possibly be to you. And Lord, help us always to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. In the verses we just read, the writer of Hebrews quotes a passage of Scripture that is found back in Psalm chapter 95. And as you can see, it's a passage that deals specifically with how the people of Israel acted toward God while in the wilderness. And the thing that I want to focus on for the message is how the passage begins. So I want you to look with me once again at verse number 7. And notice there, the writer says, in parenthesis, as the Holy Ghost saith. And then he begins to quote from Psalm 95, which says, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He says there, as the Holy Ghost saith, which shows that this was the message of the Holy Ghost. This was not just some man's message. This was the message of the Holy Ghost back when this scripture was originally given, and even right now in the present day. This is the message of the Holy Ghost. And what is it? It is, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And what I want you to understand is that when it comes to doing what God says, when it comes to the matter of doing what God says, because the Bible says right here, if ye will hear his voice. So when it comes to doing what God says, God's word is always today. Today. God expects us to respond immediately, without hesitation or reservation, to his voice. Whenever we hear his voice, when we know that God is speaking to us, he expects us to respond in the positive immediately and without hesitation. This is one thing that the Bible means when again and again it uses the word hearken. I'm sure those of you who read your Bible have noticed there are many times when the scripture uses the word hearken, and what that word means is to listen up and do what you are being told. To hearken doesn't simply mean hear in the biblical sense. It means to listen up and then act upon what you have been told. And that is exactly what God expects from each and every one of us. His word is always today. He wants us to respond immediately in the affirmative whenever he speaks to our hearts. And since that is the case, since God's word is always today, that automatically means that the devil's word is always tomorrow. God's word is today. The devil's word, when it comes to doing what God says, is always tomorrow. The devil always wants us to procrastinate. He wants us to put off whatever it is that God tells us to do. That's what the devil desires. God wants us to respond immediately today to do what he says, but the devil whispers, you can do that tomorrow. He likes for us, he desires for us, he tempts us to procrastinate when it comes to doing what God says. And as I thought about that fact, I came to some reasons why the devil likes for us to procrastinate. First of all, I thought about this. The devil likes us to procrastinate because of the possibility of procrastination. What I call the possibility of procrastination. And what I mean is this. The devil knows, I think sometimes better than we do ourselves for whatever reason. The devil knows that you and I could die before we ever have another chance to do whatever it is that God has told us to do. He knows that. Y'all understand that not a one of us in here is guaranteed to see tomorrow. Y'all understand that? And yet, all of us saying we know that, and I'm right here with you, we all say we know that we could die before tomorrow, that we may never see the sun come up tomorrow, and yet knowing that fact, saying amen and saying we agree with that and believing in our heart, how many times do we put off what we know God has told us to do? The devil understands there is the very real possibility that if we'll just put it off, if we'll just procrastinate, that something might happen in our lives so that we do not get another chance. Listen, folks, you're here this morning. You have the moment that you're in right now, but you are not guaranteed that you're going to make it back to the house today. You're not guaranteed that you'll get to come back tonight. You're not guaranteed that you'll be here next Sunday. So often people say things, at least in their mind, well, I'll do it next Sunday. I'll do it next Sunday. How do you know you will be here next Sunday? You have no guarantee. You have no assurance, no promise that you will see the sun come up tomorrow. And the devil knows that. Do you know what he's going to do? He's going to always tempt you and entice you to procrastinate when it comes to doing what God tells you to do. That's the possibility of procrastination. Another reason why I believe the devil wants us to procrastinate is because of the probability of procrastination. The probability of procrastination. What I'm talking about here is the devil. Y'all listening to me? The devil knows the longer you put something off, the less likely you are to ever get it done. That's a fact. That's a statistical fact. That the longer a person puts something off, the less likely they are to ever get it done. And for whatever reason, many of us as human beings are so prone to procrastinate. And I think when it comes to spiritual things, to spiritual realities, to God's working in our lives and him speaking to our hearts and telling us what to do, we many times put that off. We procrastinate and we say, I'll get to it later on. And we come up with all these excuses and these reasons why we're not going to do it right now. And the devil understands that the more we do that, the more we ignore the voice of God speaking to our hearts, the quieter and the quieter and the quieter that voice is going to get, so that less and less likely we are to do whatever it is God has said to us. I want to say to you this morning, with everything I have in me, if you're here and you come to this church on a regular basis, and you never sense that God is speaking to you, you're in a very dangerous position in your life. And what I fear, friend, is that you have listened and you have heard the voice of God over and again, and you have ignored that voice, and as time has gone on, it's gotten quieter and quieter and quieter until now you can't even hear that voice. That's a terrible place to be. I often wondered, I used to really wonder, and I guess sometimes I still do, but I used to really wonder how it is that people can sit in a church where they're hearing Bible preaching and Bible teaching Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and never change. I used to wonder how they could do that. And that goes on all over the place. You have a good Bible-believing church, Bible-believing preacher, and he's preaching and he's teaching and he's preaching and he's teaching. No change. No move. Nothing. And I wonder, what in the world? How does that happen? How is it that people can sit under that and listen to it again and again and again and nothing ever change? There's never any move of God, it seems like, in their lives. I wondered, and I tell you what I believe. This wouldn't be the only reason, but I think a major reason is because so many times they have procrastinated when God spoke to their heart, and now they can't even hear that voice anymore. It's completely quiet. They don't hear it anymore. Yeah, they hear the words rolling out of a preacher's mouth, but they don't really hear the voice of God. They think that God is speaking to other people, when in reality he might be speaking to them. They just don't get it anymore. That voice has gotten so quiet they cannot hear it, and it's because they have procrastinated so many times before. And listen, the devil understands the more you procrastinate, the less likely you are to ever make that decision that God is speaking to you about in your life. If you're here today and you've come to service for any amount of time now, and you don't hear God's voice, I tell you what you better do. Either before you leave this service or after you get home today, you better fall on your knees and beg Almighty God that he'll speak in such a fashion that you can hear him again. You need that, friend. The possibility of procrastination. The probability of procrastination. Here's one other reason. One other reason why I believe the devil entices us to procrastinate. And that is because of the power of procrastination. The power of procrastination. Do you know that procrastination keeps us in a place or a condition where we cannot experience the full favor and blessing of God on our lives? That's what procrastination does. Whenever God speaks to us, when we hear that voice, he's speaking to us about a particular condition that we're in or a spot that we're in our lives. And he's wanting us to heed what he says and make some changes and do things different. And when we put that off, when we procrastinate for whatever reason and say, not today, I'll do it tomorrow, what that does is hinder God from being able to manifest his favor the way he wants to in our lives. Y'all understand that the only way we can experience his full favor and blessing is to do what he tells us to do, to be obedient when he speaks to our hearts about things. I think about a good biblical illustration of what I'm talking about here is a fellow in the Old Testament that most people are familiar with named Pharaoh. Well, really, that wasn't his name. That was his title, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Y'all remember him? Whenever Joseph was down there later on, that Pharaoh died and another Pharaoh come along. And this guy, he didn't know Joseph, and he had it in for the people of Israel that were there and began to persecute those folks. And God raises up Moses, sends Moses and Aaron down there to Egypt to bring deliverance to his people. And during that time when Moses is there, God uses him to bring about all these different plagues on those people. Y'all remember some of those things? Just horrible plagues that he brought upon this Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. He spared the people of Israel from many of those, but he brought those things on the Egyptians. And one that stands out in my mind is the plague of frogs. Y'all remember that? When he plagued them with frogs? I mean, according to what you read in the Bible, there literally were frogs everywhere. The Bible talks about how they got up in the beds with the people. They got in their ovens. They got in their mixing bowls. There literally were frogs everywhere. You could not go anywhere where there were not nasty, stinky, slimy frogs. They're all over the place. And finally, as he had did on other occasions, Pharaoh calls Moses in. He says, look, man, I've had enough of the frogs. Just go out and entreat God on our behalf and get rid of the frogs. Moses says, all right. Because he says, if you'll do this, I'll let the people go. So Moses says, all right, when do you want me to ask God to get rid of the frogs? And it is, to me, one of the most amazing statements in all the Bible. You know what he said? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. When he could have had them gone right then. When he could have got the frogs out of his bed right then and out of his food right then. He says, just do it tomorrow. That's amazing to me. You know what that means? That means that that man and all those people down there spent one more night with all those nasty frogs. When immediately they could have experienced the favor of God. Right away they could have seen God's hand and God's power to get rid of those frogs, because the next day Moses did go out and Moses did entreat God on their behalf. And you know what God did right away? He got rid of the frogs. But their procrastination, or at least Pharaoh's procrastination, kept himself and all of those people from experiencing the blessing and favor of God right away. It's the same with us. The devil just does a really good job, I guess, of convincing us that what God wants to do and is able to do in our lives is really not what's best. He convinces us that maybe our lives will be somewhat worse off if we do what God tells us to do. So we procrastinate, thinking that everything will be better. We'll have a more fulfilled life, a more satisfied life. Everything will be so much better if we just hang on to whatever this is that God's speaking to us about and telling us to get rid of. And so we put it off. I'll do it later. When in reality, the only way that you can really have satisfaction and the full favor of God in your life is for you to respond in the affirmative when God speaks to you about something. The power of procrastination. There are many Christians right now who are living a life far below. Y'all still with me? They are living a life far below where they could be because of procrastination. Just putting it off. So the devil's word is always tomorrow. If you're ever in a situation where you hear the voice of God and you know, y'all ever had that happen? I hope you have. I know I certainly have. And I've talked to a lot of other people that say they have. But have you ever been to those services? And this is something I don't experience as much as I used to, because I preach almost every Sunday of my life. But when I have an opportunity to go to church and be able to sit and listen, it's something that I look forward to. It's something I enjoy. Not only do I like to preach, but I like to hear preaching. I tell you what I really enjoy. I enjoy when I'm preaching, or not me, somebody else is preaching. They're preaching to me, and it seems like I'm the only person in the entire room. You ever had that happen before? You know, just as sure as the world, God's got your number and he's speaking directly to you about something. I enjoy that for a lot of reasons. It's not always a positive thing, but it's positive in my mind anyway. Even though he might be speaking to me about something that's wrong or something that's negative, it's positive in my mind that I can still hear God speak to me. I want that. I don't ever want there to come a day in my life where I stop hearing that voice. I want to know God speaking. If you're ever in that situation where you know God speaking, and then you hear this other voice that says, you can do that tomorrow. You can do that next Sunday. You can do that some other time. You just know that ain't the Lord. Because when it comes to what he says, his word is always today. The devil's word is always tomorrow. And with that in mind, I want to mention some things real quick. I just want to mention some things real quick this morning that maybe you need to take care of today. Perhaps these are conditions that you might find yourself in even now. Maybe God's spoken to you in the past about it, but for whatever reason, you've procrastinated, you've put it off. And here, once again, this morning, in this service, God is giving you a chance. He's speaking to you and giving you an opportunity once again. If that be the case, then understand, today is the day. You don't need to put it off. Not another moment. You need to do it today. Let me say, first of all, if you're here today and you need to be born again, if you are unsaved, if you're in this building and you need to be born again, let me say to you, today is the day. Amen? Today is the day. There's no better day than this day. I guess if there ever was a day, it would have been that very first day that God spoke to your heart and you didn't accept. But right now, you still have a chance. Right now, if you're still hearing that voice, this is the thing about this that I have heard. It's a misconception for whatever reason that is in the minds of a lot of people. I've heard them say something along the lines, well, I'm not going to get saved until later on in life. I'm just going to kind of live my life, sow my wild oats, and then later on in life, when I get ready to settle down, I'll get saved. You know what people do? They just take for granted that 20, 30, 40 years down the line, whenever it is that they've sowed their wild oats and lived their life and are ready to settle down, that they're still going to be able to hear the voice of God speaking to them. Listen, friend, you don't get saved whenever you want to. You get saved when God speaks to you and deals with you. That's when you get saved. You go down life's road thinking, well, I just get saved years from now. You know what's going to happen? As the years roll by, that voice is going to get quieter and quieter and quieter until later on down the road, you're not even going to think about salvation anymore. What scares me to death is there might be somebody in this building here today that time and again God spoke to you and you know just as sure as shooting that you should have already got saved, but you didn't. You put it off and you put it off. And even now as I'm preaching, as I'm trying to pour my heart out to you, it's just rolling off you like water off a duck's back. Nothing to you anymore. At one point, you felt conviction. At one point, it really got down and gripped you when you left. You went home and you thought about it, and you really contemplated the need in your life to get saved. Now you just can't wait for me to shut up so you can get out and go eat somewhere. That's right. Your mind's on wages and what they're going to have on the buffet today. I'm serious. You know what? You're in a bad spot, friend. You better beg God to hear that voice again, and you'll die in your sins and go to hell is what you'll do. That's what you'll do. You better listen up. If you're here today and you know that God's speaking to you, if you sense that this morning, telling you, tugging at your heart and speaking in your ear, saying now is the time for you to get saved before you leave, you better do that today. You better do that. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now, y'all listening? Now is the day of salvation. Right now. So if you're here and you need to be born again, you better respond in the affirmative this morning. Number two, this is for those who are already saved. Perhaps you're backslid. Perhaps that's your condition this morning. Maybe God's been speaking to you about it. Well, if you still hear him speaking, today is the day. Right now is the time for you to get back to where you need to be in your life spiritually. And let's be clear, as I've told you before, this matter of backsliding, for whatever reason, our thought is as long as we're still going to church, we hadn't completely got out of church, we're not backslid. You know, as long as I ain't out in a bar somewhere and doing dope and drinking all that, well, I ain't backslid. You come to church every Sunday and be backslid. Backsliding is just as simple as this right here, getting to this point in your life with the Lord and coming back from that. That's backsliding. And in the Bible, God talks about his people. He likens the people of Israel to what he calls a backsliding heifer. That's what he called them. His own people, backsliding heifer.
It's a picture of a cow that's trying to get up an embankment, and it's muddy, and it gets a little ways up, and then it just slides back. It gets a little way up, and it slides back. It just can't get all the way up there. He says, that's my people. They're a backsliding heifer, constantly going away from me. Where are you at this morning? Let me ask you. You be honest. Be real with yourself. Are you right now where you were at another point in your life, or have you gone backwards any at all? Are you just as committed to the Lord as you've ever been? You reading your Bible as much as you once did? You spending time in prayer like you once did? You being faithful to church like you once were? You witnessing like you used to? Be real with yourself. Are you backslid this morning? God speaking to you? Today, if you will hear his voice, friend, today is the day. There's no better day than this day right here for you to start that journey back to God so that you can get back to where you need to be in your spiritual life. Are you backslid? Number three, I just got a couple more. And listen, you can make an inexhaustive list of things. I just picked out some. The need to be born again. Perhaps you're backslid. Maybe this morning you're bitter. Maybe that root of bitterness has sprung up in you hard and it's got a grip on you. You're full of anger, full of resentment, ill will and hard feelings towards somebody or maybe a whole group of people. Bitterness just eating you up on the inside. And maybe God spoke to you. You know what the Bible says? This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, let all bitterness be put away from you. That's what God says. Let all bitterness be put away from you. Well, Brother Keith, you just don't know what they've done. No, I don't. But I don't really see where that matters. What matters is what God says. Amen? God says, let all bitterness be put away from you. Maybe you've been holding on to that thing for a long time. We tend to do that. We get something there and we just want to hold on to it. Keep it there. Cultivate it. We don't want to let go of it. Maybe for a long time you've been bitter down in your heart. Maybe you're bitter towards somebody in this church right here. I don't know. Friend, today is the day. Don't keep procrastinating. Don't keep putting that thing off. So I'm going to tell you right now, bitterness will destroy you. It'll ruin your walk with God. It'll make you a mean-spirited, hateful individual. That's what bitterness will do to you. Just a grouchy old cynical person that nobody ever wants to be around. Don't wind up that way. For goodness sakes, don't wind up that way. God, if you hear that voice speaking to you about getting that thing right with whoever it is, forgiving and letting it go and moving on, then by all means, you do what God tells you to do. And here's one last thing that I thought about. Maybe you're in bondage. Maybe you're in bondage. Maybe there's something's got a hold on you. Paul said this. He said, all things are expedient for me, but he said, I'll not be brought under the power of any. So I'm not going to let anything get a hold of me except Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's going to have control of my life. I'm not going to let anything else bring me into bondage but him. Maybe you got some kind of addiction, some kind of habit, something that's just got a hold on you. And it's been there a long time and you've heard God speak. You know he spoke to you. You know he's told you that it's time to get proactive and try to get some victory in your life and get rid of that mess and get it out. You know that. But for whatever reason, you've just procrastinated. Because you're getting some level of satisfaction from whatever it is that you're doing, because it makes your flesh feel good and whatever. Maybe it's kind of become something that you lean on instead of you leaning on God. You know, that's what I've noticed about people that get addicted to things, whatever it might be. And I'm not even necessarily talking about, you know, some type of substance. It may be that. But people can get addicted to anything. You can get addicted to food. You can get addicted to television. You can get addicted to anything. And what I've seen happen is people that get addicted to something, they'll get brought into bondage, and they'll begin to lean on that thing and trust that thing to provide what they feel like they need instead of leaning on God to take care of them. For example, and I'm just throwing this one out here. I have heard this so many times from people. I have seen people get in a stressful situation, something's bothering them, and this is what I've heard them say. Boy, I need a cigarette right now. Haven't y'all heard people say that before? Can I tell y'all one better than that? I've said that myself. I don't smoke now, at least not around anybody. You know what that is? You're addicted to it, first of all, but then you say this, because you're in a situation that's got, you know, rubbing you wrong, your nerve, I could sure use a cigarette right now. You know what you're saying without verbalizing it? God, you're not enough. I got to have a cigarette to help me get through this. I could sure use a beer right now. You mean tell me God ain't enough for you to get you through? Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Bondage. To the point that you begin to lean on that thing and depend on that thing. And it takes you, that's one of the horrible things about addiction in the life of a believer, is it gets such a hold on them that they lean on that instead of walking by faith and trusting God to provide everything that they need. There is nothing you will ever need in your life that He cannot provide for you. If it is comfort you need, He can give you that comfort. If it's joy you need, He can give you that joy. If it's help to get through a stressful situation, He is more than able to get you through that without any help from anything else. Maybe you got a bondage here this morning. Something you're leaning on. It's a crutch. Just hobbling along, leaning on that thing. And God again and again has implored you to give that thing up and just trust Him. Just rely on Him. If He's speaking to you today, then guess what? Today is the day to begin to be proactive, to start doing some things to get victory over whatever it is that has you in bondage. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. I just mentioned a few. I may not have mentioned anything that has any relation to your situation at all. It may be something completely different that you're dealing with, that God's spoken to you about. Your situation, your place, your condition right now may not be any of the things that I mentioned, but you know, you got the gist of the message. If God's speaking to you this morning, His word is today. Whatever it is, you do it today. Heavenly Father, please take the message and do with it what only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Scott.
Turn to page
3:84. Today is the day. Won't you come? Won't you come?